Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Earlier in the show, we mentioned that the number of people in Illinois who've tested positive for COVID-19, as of Tuesday morning, it's at 45,883. But the key word in there is tested positive. It's estimated that there are many more people who may carry the virus or who were infected in the past, but are not included in that official count. And that's why some states are testing residents for antibodies, to see if they've been exposed at some point, or even if they never got sick. Researchers hope this will provide a better glimpse into how widespread COVID-19 is and when it began to circulate in communities across the U.S. New York has moved aggressively to do antibody testing. Here's New York Governor Andrew Cuomo speaking at a news conference last week.
But what we found so far is the statewide number is 13.9% tested positive for having the antibodies. What does that mean? It means these are people who were infected and who developed the antibodies to fight the infection. So they had the They were infected 3 weeks ago, right? 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. But they had the virus, they developed the antibodies, and they are now, quote unquote, recovered. 13.9%, just about 14%.
That was New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Here in Illinois, though, the governor has taken a much more cautious approach to antibody testing. Governor J.B. Pritzker said at his news conference last Friday that antibody testing could give people a false sense of hope because the technology is not yet accurate enough. Joining us to talk more about what antibody testing can and cannot tell us is Christopher Byron Brook. He's a professor of molecular and cell biology at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, specializes in infectious diseases. Welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
We're also joined by Rock Island County Coroner and registered nurse Brian Gustafson. He suspects that the virus may have gone undetected for weeks in some areas of the U.S., including in his part of the state. Coroner, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be with you.
So, Professor Brook, I want to begin with you. What is an antibody test? How is that different from the test for COVID-19 we've been hearing so much about in the last month?
Right. So the normal test for COVID-19 is actually testing for the presence of the virus in the patient. It's a highly specific test, meaning that if you test positive with the molecular test, the odds are extremely high that you actually are infected by the virus. The antibody test tests for something different, which is really your body's response to the infection. And so it's looking for the presence of specific molecules that your body makes called antibodies that can bind to and inactivate virus particles, and that we typically start to make towards the tail end of an infection. And so, as was said earlier, the presence of these antibodies are a very good indicator that you were infected in the past. It's important to note that the positive signal for an antibody test is going to come up much later, typically after you've already had symptoms. So it's not really great for diagnosing infection. It's really something to tell you if you had it previously. But the one issue is that the tests for antibodies are much less accurate than the molecular test for the virus, meaning that if you test positive for antibodies, depending on which test is used, there is still a significant chance in some cases that you're not actually positive, that you're a false positive.
Hmm. So I'm trying to think of like the metaphor here. If I look outside and I see it's raining, okay, I can definitely tell it's raining. But if I look outside and the grass is wet, well, yes, it probably rained, but maybe the neighbor had his hose out or something like that. I mean, is that a reasonable metaphor here?
Yeah, sure. That's a good metaphor. And then the issue depends upon how frequently are your neighbors firing their sprinklers off. And yeah, That's kind of what we don't know in this situation. So in many circumstances, we don't know and this is true in Illinois, if the true positive rate, the percentage of people who really have been infected and really do have antibodies against this virus is higher than the false positive rate for many of the available tests, which can be as high as 10%. If you have a false rate.
Yeah, and so I was just going to ask, so I mean, what What do we, are there antibody tests for other diseases like the seasonal flu? I mean that we can, that we can tell if somebody had that?
There are, and in some cases, we have more accurate tests for other viruses that are more widely available, but that's because those viruses have been around for a long time. We've only been dealing with this virus for a few months. The other thing to keep in mind, though, is that the odds of a false positive, the risks of a false positive for COVID, for anti-coronavirus antibodies are much higher than they are for influenza virus, because we're talking about using immune status or positive antibody tests to identify people who may be protected from the virus and may be protected from getting sick or transmitting to others. And so decisions are being made on that that aren't really made based on influenza antibody status, for instance.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the reasons I think people seem eager for more widely available antibody testing is that it could help us piece together a timeline of when the virus was actually here in Illinois, in America. And I think initially the first reported death in the U.S. from COVID-19 was late February, but officials in Santa Clara County, California, have reported that two residents had actually died of the virus weeks earlier. I should say they've recently gone back and reported that in the first part of February. Do you have questions about when the virus may have come to Illinois or been circulating in the community? And I'll start with Professor Brooke on that one.
Well, yeah, I agree. That's still an open question. I think a lot of people are working to develop a more higher resolution answer to that question. One of the most powerful tools that we have is looking at the genome sequences of the viruses we have collected. That information allows us to estimate back when the virus was introduced into different regions and how long it's been circulating.
So, Brian Gustafson, the coroner for Rock Island County, I want to bring you into the conversation here. When was the first official death in Rock Island County from COVID-19?
Oh gosh, I don't have that right in front of me, but it was probably 6 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago. But I think you have said that you suspect that, as we've just been talking about, that deaths were occurring earlier than we thought in the United States. And people have begun to question, maybe the virus was circulating earlier than we initially thought. Maybe my loved one who got really sick could have had this virus. And Brian, you were quoted recently in the New York Times about this. When did you have that moment where you thought maybe this virus was in Rock Island County earlier than we knew?
Well, I didn't start to really think about it until late February. I personally became very, very ill in the very first part of January, to the point where I couldn't get out of bed for a week. I've never in my life been that sick. Looking back, as I look at some of the cases that I've worked up as far as individuals who have died, November, maybe October. Most individuals who die from this coronavirus 19 have comorbidities. They have other disease processes also going on. Most of the time, the COVID-19 is simply the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will. But it's a very large straw, if you will. At beginning of the year at the best, I say even further, I wouldn't be afraid to say October.
And so these are people that you, because they died from a respiratory illness, but now you're looking at their records and kind of thinking back, boy, I wonder if that could have been this other thing that was with the, what maybe we thought it was pneumonia, but in fact it was COVID-19.
And how much of a contributing factor could it or was it?
Okay. So, Professor Brooke, could antibody testing tell us when a virus was in a community?
Not directly. It can tell you how widely spread a virus has been in a community, provided the testing is accurate. And I mean, I think the exact time period at which the virus entered different communities across the United States is an open question. People are still trying to work out, get better dates for this, I think it's important, and it's a natural instinct to wonder, you know, if I was sick last year, could it have been this? I think, you know, people are working to understand this. I think one of the tools that's been particularly useful or at least instructive is looking at how the expected death rates are elevated above what would normally be expected for a given year. Is one tool people are using, but it's tricky because, you know, this, you know, you talk about late 2019, that's the peak of influenza season. And that's another respiratory virus that kills thousands of people in the US every year. So it's really hard to disentangle those two without specific molecular testing.
And Chris, I think many people who got really sick in the last couple of months, as we just heard from the coroner in Rock Island County, may have this same question on their mind. Maybe I was sick with COVID-19. And when we think about infection rates and pre-symptomatic or asymptomatic transmission, that's where people can transmit the disease without having the symptoms of it, a fever and cough. Do you think it's possible that more people may have been exposed than we know?
Oh, absolutely, for sure. There's no question that we're not testing enough to capture the totality of the infection burden in the United States. And the extent to which we're not capturing that is going to vary depending on the testing density in different places. So I guarantee you there are probably the majority of people who have been infected with the virus have not been have not received a specific positive test result and, you know, probably haven't been tested. But how much that is, whether we're capturing half or 10%, remains an open question.
Yeah, and I wonder, we actually had a tweet from a listener, Nathaniel Fuente, about this, asking, you know, when people have recovered from the illness or seem to have recovered and then test positive again, I mean, are there limits to what antibody testing can tell us?
Right. Well, it's important to keep in mind the two different tests. So once you've developed an antibody response to this virus, this is still an open question as to how long it will persist, whether it's, you know, for years or maybe just a couple years. But at least over the time span that we've been dealing with COVID-19, once you have a true positive antibody response to this virus, we would expect that you would stay positive. There are reports of people testing positive via the molecular test for the virus after they've recovered, but there is no evidence whatsoever that those people actually have infectious virus. It's important to note that the molecular test for the virus detects a fragment of the viral genome. It does not detect biologically active virus particles. There's no evidence that people are getting reinfected with the virus or reactivating the virus later after recovering.
Okay. And that's what I was wondering. I mean, do we know if somebody has these antibodies, does that mean necessarily that they're going to be immune if they are re-exposed to the coronavirus?
Right. That's a great question. And it's one that no one has an absolute answer to. I think the normal expectation is that if you've recovered from this virus and you have an antibody response, that you will be protected to some extent, either that you can't be reinfected at all, or if you do get reinfected, it'll be extremely mild or asymptomatic. That's the expectation, but we don't yet have the hard data to show exactly what immunity to this virus looks like. What percentage of people who recover develop robust antibody responses, how protective those antibody responses are, and how long they'll last. Will you be protected for the rest of your life? Will you be protected for 10 years, 2 years, 6 months? These are all open questions.
Okay. And Brian Gustafson, the coroner in Rock Island County, I want to come back to you here. What questions would an antibody test answer for you, either personally or in your official role as a coroner? And do you personally plan to get tested?
Personally, I would love to know. Due to the nature of my work, I have an extreme potential to be exposed to the virus just by the nature of the work I do. I would love to know if I've been infected, if I have built up my own antibodies. I'd also like to know if the antibodies, assuming that I do have them, if I could help others who become so sick that they could possibly benefit from the therapy. So, the numbers, as you indicated earlier, of confirmed cases are morbidly low. I mean, I think that as of yesterday, I think in Rock Island County, we only had 401 confirmed cases. I would believe that number to be much, much, much higher because we're not testing everybody. Me, when I was sick, I didn't even go to the hospital to get checked for influenza A, didn't go get checked for influenza B. I convinced myself I had the flu and I needed to stay home, stay away from people, stay hydrated, and, drink fluids and get better.
Yeah.
So, it's just, I guess as we answer the questions today, we find that there are a lot of questions that still need to be answered.
Yeah.
We really don't know much about this yet.
Yeah. And Chris, that's actually my last question to you. And we only have about 30 seconds left, but what are the big questions that you still have about this virus and the way we are reacting to it?
Yeah, I think it would be a lot of the things that have already been touched upon. So how many people have truly been infected already? How long will people be immune to infection, to reinfection after they've been initially infected? I think those are the two of the biggest questions that would be extremely helpful to know.
Christopher Byron Brook is a professor of molecular and cell biology at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. He specializes in infectious diseases. We also spoke with Rock Island County Coroner Brian Gustafson. Thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with us today on the 21st.
Thanks again.
Thank you, Brian. It's been a pleasure.
Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me host Peter Sagal about the delicate act of striking the balance between news and comedy without a live audience. I'm Brian Mackey. Stay tuned. You're listening to The 21st.